So we have here right now the best movie that you can possibly ask for. There's no better movie in town. We got it right in front of us. It's the best soap opera, Operazza Bom, we can ask for. It's right in our minds, right in front of our eyes. We have the best movie in town, which is us. So I want to just encourage you to really explore what it means to be you. What does it mean to be you or me? And this brings fire to the practice. This brings motivation. Da atzmecha. Is there anything more important that we have to do? So I want to just pass to you this sense. It's not only interesting, it's also urgent to take responsibility for who we are, how we are, what's going through our minds. How are we with our experience? This is major. It's not just a nice weekend to be a little calmer. The Dharma The Dharma may begin there, but it goes much further. How are we with the experiences of our life? Do they bring us happiness, joy? Do we help ourselves and help others? Is our life constant struggle and misery? Or is it joy and freedom and openness and wisdom? And are we dancing with experiences, or are we struggling with them? It's up to us. Nobody else can do it for us. So that's about it. So I don't need to say any more. So, but of course, there's a lot of wisdom in the teaching to help us with this mission, with this journey, with this shift in the transformation. And some reminders. So I want to give some reminders right now. The first thing, a reminder, is a sense of refuge, which we did right at the beginning of this retreat. And we really need to kind of really feel at home. We don't want to start the meeting with ourselves from an assumption, hanacha, that it's all about struggle, mavak. Right at the beginning, we can sense, yes, I have something to do, I look at my life, but from a place of being at home, because I have no other home. My life is my home. So we can actually choose to feel that, support that. A sense of being at home with ourselves, whatever we experience. And that's a starting point for the practice. I come home from all the scattering, pizur, from all the confusion, from all the neediness of life, the pressures, I actually can find a home in my life right now, what I experience, how I am with myself this minute. That's my home. I have no other home. So, but we can actually feel that and support that. It's a kind of ground. And so we can feel that every time we sit, we meditate, or every time we walk, a little bit of settling down into our own experience, coming home to where I really live. And so just keep remembering to come home to where I really live, to where my real life is happening, right now, here, me and the world. If there is a problem, an issue that we have in the practice, it's always really the same issue. The issue isn't that we have a difficult experience, that we want it to be more happy. That's not the problem. The problem is going to sleep. The problem is forgetting. The problem is going back into tayas automati, anesthesia, just switching off and not knowing what's going on. The problem isn't a difficult experience. Dafka, we can be totally at home with the pleasant and unpleasant experiences. But the problem is forgetfulness. And the opposite of forgetfulness is erut, being awake to what's going on. I like the word in Hebrew, hitpakchut. It's really a good word for what we're doing here. To open the eyes, hitpakchut. To wake up to what's really happening. And that's the opposite of going to sleep. So it's helped if we, what I said at the beginning, we see that our life is the best movie in town. It actually helps us to be interested. And to be interested is a big power that will help us not to fall asleep, not to be in situation of being an automat, not to forget, be in forgetfulness. It's the interest. Curiosity. I've said this before, this small story, but it's so sweet that I want to say it again, about my granddaughter, Daria. And she was saying, my grandfather does meditation. And someone said, so what does he do? And she said, he does this. So I went to her and said, what did you tell this guy what is meditation? And she said, it's this. So I said to her, look, you enjoy your tiyul shnati. Yeah, why? Well, because I see new things. I go and see paths and trees and fields and flowers that I've never seen before. I said, meditation is exactly that. Tiyul shnati, that you wait for the whole year. It's your tiyul shnati. So all of us can feel that. The interest, we're in a tiyul shnati b'tochenu. We're exploring, discovering new territories, new paths, new experiences, places we've forgotten, corners that we left that are full of cobwebs. And this is really small things, but our life is made of small things. So something disturbs us in the day, in maybe 100 times. Small things disturb us. Air conditioning, itush, didn't sleep so well. Someone, my neighbor here in the hall is a bit disturbing me. They're small things. how are we? Now, waking up, being interested, is how exactly are we in the moment that the air conditioning switches off and we go, oh, basa, that's, I have to wait now. How are we with those moments? Exactly. That's the interest. Because that's the way our life is. How am I with myself in terms of love? Do I love my hands, my arms, my body? Do I love my mind? Do I love my eyes? Do I love my breath? Do I love the breath of the person sitting next to me? His life, her life? If not, why not? The one sitting next to me is like me. So if I love myself, why can't I love my neighbor? These are kind of things that just, you know, they're there for us to open. In our Tiulchnati. So another thing that can help us in our practice is knowing a kind of right effort. There's a beautiful line from Osho who said, "Why be a hero when you can be a zero? Why be a hero when you can be a zero?" Far out line. But it's helpful for us to know that actually in this practice we don't need to be heroes. Right effort is very much, it's a key quality in our practice that we can learn more and more about. And it's a sense of staying with things without us having to be a hero to break walls and then collapse. Oh, I must get 10 breaths in one row, but I must be there. Oh no, I failed. Doesn't work. 3 breaths and I'm already, my mind is in Tel Aviv. We can be in soft effort, and soft effort is just the continuity, hemshechiyut. The Buddha said, someone asked the Buddha, how did you cross the flood of samsara, of ordinary reality, to the other side, to nirvana? And he said, I crossed the flood by not struggling, but not stopping. So the question was, so how did you do that? And the Buddha said, when I struggled against the flood, I got swept away. When I stopped, I drowned. I sunk. So not stopping, but not struggling, I crossed to the other side. So this is right effort. It's a soft and continuous effort, and it really is very practical. We don't need to struggle, just to, oh, I must get there. I only have 1 weekend to find Nibbana. Soft effort. Just keep steadily with the practice, with soft effort. Cross the flood by not struggling and fighting ourselves, and not stopping and sinking. So we talked about samadhi here and there, and I just want to remind you about samadhi. Samadhi is our continuously gathering ourselves together. It's sometimes called concentration, but it's a sense of staying with what's happening. of being in the English translation of the Pali words, the word is sometimes used abiding. Abiding in English means lishot, to stay with. So samadhi is our power to stay with things. So I would invite you to stay with things a little bit longer. That's where you need soft effort. So you're there with the body, and then there's you feel a little restlessness. Stay with the body another minute. Yes, I feel restless, my mind, but Rega, I'm just there with it. I'm going to push the limit another minute. Stay with things, abide with things, lishot. So that's samadhi. We gather ourselves into the present and we stay there. And it goes with some calmness, but calmness would tend to be the fruit of samadhi. We don't expect calm, shalva, but it is the fruit of samadhi. But we notice it when there is samadhi or concentration or centering or staying with the object such as the breath, we can feel centered and we can feel some calmness. Calmness is produced by intimacy. If we're intimate with an object, can be anything, we will feel calmer. Just like a kid. The kid can be scattered all over the place, but as soon as the kid is ready to sit down with concentration and build with little kubiot, a castle, taking half an hour, there's a sheket in the house. So mindfulness is the power to look deeply at what is happening. I talked about it last night in different ways. But I encourage you to look more deeply in the body. Where is the breath really? Can I feel the breath in my arms, my back? Can I sense that the breath is coming from the world into me and going back into the world? Can I sense that every breath is different from every other breath? Can I sense the beginning, the middle, the end, the gap between in-breath, out-breath? Can I sense one breath as a whole journey, even a kind of universe with many aspects to it? Can I sense that the breath maybe is controlled by me and not controlled by me, is coming from life, is part of me, is not part of me, this place of paradox? Can I feel the body as an energetic body? Tchushot. Can I feel everything moving in the body? What's the language that the body is talking to me? How is the body expressing itself? What is it saying to me? So the body is still the main focus, but we can indeed pay a little more attention to the mind as well. So the mind is various directions we can, working with the mind. The mind, as we are connecting to the bodily life, we can get a sense gradually that the mind and the thoughts are a bit like clouds in the sky. We can get a sense that they are less dominant and controlling. And we just allow the mind to be the mind. Just be kind to the mind. It's just doing its thing. So we don't need to be too worried if the mind is talking loudy, more loud, more soft. It doesn't matter so much. But if we can, just let the mind go in background, Rekha. Just let it do its thing somewhere in the back. If the mind takes us on journeys, if we can, get off the train at the next station. Okay? Tarid mi arakevet b'tachana ba. So if we can, get off the train at the next station and come back to body, come back to awareness, come back to presence. But sometimes we can meet the mind also. We can say, oh, this, I want to look directly at the mind. And we can look directly at the mind. So even if it's a rakevet, is a, not rakevet Israel, but rakevet Hodi. And that's another story altogether. Packed with people, packed with confusions, packed with all kinds of things, and some beautiful little surprises, as happens in Indian trains. So we can look at their mind as well, sometimes, and just see, you know, engage with it. What is it saying? And if the mind is tending to go into repeating and rather dramatic kind of loops in the mind, such as judgment or irritation or emotion that drives thought, it can be helpful to give it a label. Ah, judgmental thought. Makshava shiputit. Shalom, od pam. Lehidraot. See you next time. So a label can be helpful sometimes with the mind. To give it a tavit. And really just a sense with the mind that we're sitting by the river. And the river is passing and flowing. And sometimes more noise, and sometimes it's quiet, and sometimes it's like this, and sometimes it's like that. But we're sitting by the river. That feeling of sitting by the river of Zerema Toda'ah. We may be experiencing mind-body phenomena like tiredness or restlessness, isheket, or pain, and it's quite usual. And our main task is to notice it, to see that it's not a problem for us. It's not something that is stopping meditation. It is because we are meditating. It's not that we're doing something wrong. We're doing something right. But what's coming up from the mind-body are voices that we don't necessarily like. But they're still voices coming from the mind-body. Kolot shel isheket, kolot shel ayufut, kolot shel... So we need to see those voices clearly. I do... One of the nice... practical slogans from mindfulness courses is to use the heading RAIN, R-A-I-N, and especially with these kind of phenomena, mind-body phenomena, I think it's quite a good heading. RAIN, R, to recognize it. Ah, okay, it's tiredness. Ah, okay, it's restlessness. Ah, okay, it's neediness, ishtokukut. Ah, okay. It's pain in the back. Ah, okay. Recognize. A. Accept, which I prefer to use the word allow. With A. I think it's a better word. Allow. Allow it to be what it is. It is what it is. Not to be against it. It is what it is. It's a voice that needs to be heard. So I'm not against it. I'm afshir. I let it be what it is. I investigate, explore. This is the tiulchnati. What's happening? What is this voice in me of isheket? Let me look at it. Let me be with it. Let me lishot, to hold it in attention for a while. See what it's saying. And en, which is the non-identification, is dahut. Not to identify with these things. They are phenomena. And this is a really, really crucial aspect of our practice. Altogether, in all our practice, this is a crucial aspect of the practice. We keep stepping out and non-identifying ihis dahut. We efshal lezahot mashu, but lo lihis dahot im mashu. We keep stepping out, and what does that mean? We become the witness, ha'ed. We are in the place of the ed, edut. Just like I said, sitting by the river, watching the water pass by. And that takes away, this is the path to non-attachment. Ihis dahut is I heachzut. Because when we're non-identified with things, they go away. We don't give them power. They're just passing phenomena, tofa'ot she'ovrot. So that's an important aspect of our practice. The biggest drama in the world turns into a tofa'ah, just tofa'ah. And we can see it so clearly because it passes by anyway. Just the big drama we're going through right here in the hall, like the biggest drama of our life. And then the bell rings and it's gone. Means, does it need to be the biggest drama of our life? If the ring of the bell saying lunch and the whole thing collapses into nothing, gone? So we really need to kind of allow things be very aware that things pass by themselves. Things change and move. Tofa'ot, they phenomena, they pass, they arrive. They are experienced and they're gone. And we let them go. And instead, we find more space. And everything I said last night in the talk about discovering a much bigger space for us to exist in. Space of awareness comes from that. Where we see that the phenomena that sometimes seem like the big operat sabon of our life actually has a very limited chayei madaf, you could say, shelf life. It just comes and it goes, and we let it go. So we don't need to fight stuff, we just need to let stuff go by itself, because it does. And instead of that, begin to appreciate the space that opens up when we let stuff go. And that space is potentially infinite. And Sophie. So we'll take a few minutes to practice now.